I want you to turn this morning, just for our brief meditation from God's precious word, to the Epistle of the Romans in chapter 5. It's a very familiar verse to most of you here, one of those verses which perhaps we learnt when we were young, and a verse which comes back to us again and again as we read the word of the living God. But this verse has been on my mind this week as I thought about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so once again, I want to bring it to your attention and pray the Lord will be pleased to bless it to each of us. Romans in chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think you'll agree with me when you look at this verse that the subject of this verse is the love of God. But then you may say, of course, that the very subject of the whole of the Bible is concerning the love of God. It doesn't matter where you turn, whether it be creation or the incarnation or the crucifixion, you'll find that it speaks about the love of God. You could even go further, of course, and speak about the glorification of our Lord Jesus in heaven, and that's about the love of God. So that in each of our lives as well, we can look back and we can say that every step that we have taken is because of the love of God. And today we're celebrating, it seems to me, the love of God. You'll remember an old hymn or perhaps a spiritual song that we used to sing. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Reaches up to the farthest star, reaches down to the lowest hell. And that, of course, is so true, isn't it, when you consider the love of God. But I want you to notice here that in our verse, it actually says that God commendeth his love to us. Let me read it again. But, and where there's a but in Scripture is always an eloquent but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so here is the commendation of the love of God towards us. We may ask the question, but when was that commendation made? And my answer would be today, especially, it was made at Calvary. And that is why we join together. And that is why we meet to worship the Lord. Because God has commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And isn't it significant that the world was represented at the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ? Of course, we understand that the title which Pilate gave him was a very special title, the King of the Jews. It was written in Greek. That's the language of culture. It was written in Roman Latin. That was the language of conquest. It was written in Hebrew. That was the language of creed and religion. And so all peoples were represented at Calvary. We were represented there when God commended his love toward us. The soldiers, the priests and the people, the foes and the friends, the mourners and the mockers, all witness Christ dying upon the cross at Calvary. And thus we would say that God was commending his love to the whole of the world upon the cross at Calvary. Very quickly today, because we don't have very much time in our service, I want you to notice first of all the reason for God's love. But I must be quick and say to you that God doesn't need a reason for anything that he does, because he is God, and we recognize his sovereignty, his majesty, and his greatness here in this verse. But there is a need. There is a reason. And the first reason is our need. Our need. I wonder if you've ever noticed that there's a fivefold description here. There's a picture that is painted of our condition as men and women. The condition of the people who were there at that time, and 2,000 years afterwards, a picture of men and women in this day in which we live as well. Let me try and show you, if I can, what I mean by that. First of all, look with me at verse 6, where we have a couple of definitions. For when we were yet without strength, we stop there just for a moment and consider the weakness of man. The weakness of man is that when we were without strength, does it mean physical strength? No, it can't mean that, can it? What does it actually mean? Surely it means spiritual strength, doesn't it? When we were without strength, the weakness of man. The weakness of man was such is that you get it described by the apostle later on, that man was dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man is weak. You know that, so do I, of course. And that is why it says we had no strength whatsoever. We were weak. But then the verse goes on, doesn't it? Because it says, when you're yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The ungodly. The second description here is that of wickedness. Ungodly. When we think of things happening in this world, we often say it's because of the ungodly. And sure, it is. There's no question about that. If a man is ungodly, has no relationship with God, no standard in his life, he's ungodly. But let us go on, because then we turn to verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. That's the waywardness of man. We were sinners. I suppose it's true for each one of us. We don't like to be called sinners, but we are. We're without strength. And we're ungodly by nature. And also we're sinners before God. And then in verse 10. For if when we were enemies. Enemies? Every man and every woman born into this world is outside of Christ. And we're enemies. Enemies by wicked works against God. And our verse tells us just that and indicates to us so that we can understand our own situation. That's the warfare that we're engaged in against God. And why do people do such many terrible things in this world? Because they're enemies of God. Why are the laws passed in this country which are anti-Christian? Because they're enemies of God. Make no mistake about it. Don't mince our words. That's a fact, and that's what it really means. But there's one other thing as well, and that gives you the fifth description that we have here, and it's concerning wrath. Verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Wrath, the wrath of God. That speaks of hell. That speaks of punishment. That speaks of all these things. And remember, our verse says Christ died for us. Us, weakness, wickedness, waywardness, warfare, and wrath, under the wrath of God. And yet, when we think about Calvary, he died for us. Oh, how remarkable. D.L. Moody held many great campaigns in this country. It's reckoned that over 1 million people came to Christ because of the preaching of D.L. Moody in this land of ours. It was the time of C.H. Spurgeon. Moody went back to America with real burden for America. He went back to Chicago, where he was stationed, where he lived, and he built a church, a great church which is still there today. And he built a Bible school, the Moody Bible Institute, as well. Outside of the church was a great notice that every person could see wherever they were. And it just simply said, God is love. That's the message of the Bible. And that today is the reason why God sent his son, because of our need. But not only that, because of God's nature as well. His very being is love. His very essence is love. We speak of God is life. God is light. And God is love as well. He's full of love. Even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. Let me pass on quickly. We have what we may term as the record of God's love. Notice the times when the death of Christ is referred to in this chapter. Look at verse 6. We read it again. And when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And then look again at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And then in verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How wonderful, how remarkable that in a short chapter like this chapter, the death of Christ is mentioned so many times. We ask, why did Christ die? Was it the death of a martyr? Was it the death of an example, the way that we should go? Was it the death of a miscarriage of human justice? No, no, my friend. All of those is wrong. It may have been part of that. But much more than that. It's the only way that God could put away sin. It's the only way that the debt of sin could be paid. It's the only way that we could be cleansed and made fit for heaven. But look at three things quickly. First of all, he died as our substitute. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. That verse speaks about substitution. And Jesus died for sinners, not good men, but bad men. The lamb in the Old Testament was a substitute for the sinner that came and brought and shed the blood of the lamb. On a tombstone in France, it simply has the words, he died for me. Because that boy who died in that battle was in his place. He should have gone, but instead of going, the young son or young brother went in his place. That's substitution. And that's what Jesus did for us. We should have died upon the cross for our sins, but Jesus died in our place and said, he died as a reconciler. Look at verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Reconciled. We were afar off, but Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is the go-between. Takes the hand of God, and we say it reverently, takes the hand of God and takes the hand of man and reconciles us unto God for eternity. He's the atonement. Look at verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Some people would try to translate that and work it in to speak of it as one word, which means at one meant. Oh, I don't mind if you do that, but it's much more than that. It's expiation. It's wiping clear. It's covering our sins like a thick cloud. Our sins, though they were many, were all wiped away. Isn't it wonderful, the record of God's love? Lastly today, I want you to notice the result of God's love. There's a remarkable change for those that believe in the cross, for those that believe in the blood of Calvary. First of all, there's a change in my standing. Verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. Justified by his blood. That word, of course, is a legal word. It means I'm legally acquitted, legally accepted. And that's what the word means. Justify, forgiven, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. But not only forgiven, clothed once again in the righteousness of Jesus. My standing, my salvation. Look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by the blood, we shall be saved. Saved. We often use that word, don't we? By his life. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And then you could look at verse 10 as well, verse 9 as well, because it says saved there, and it says saved also in verse 10, of course. Our salvation. Our past is covered by the blood. Our present is that we're kept and we are saved by his life. Jesus lives in the glory now, so that we should live for him here on earth. He's there and we're here, but he's the one who saved us. So we look to the future. We shall be kept and we shall be saved forever and ever. And our prospect is no longer the wrath of God, but rather the righteousness of Christ. The final thing I want to say today, this is the result of God's love. My standing is that I'm justified. My salvation is that my sins are forgiven and I go to heaven. But also my song. What is my song? Well, look at verse 11, it's all here. And not only so, but we also joy in God. What a wonderful title that is, joy in God. When men joy in so many different things in this world, our joy is to be found in God. We may not have any other joy, but we do have joy. We have joy in God. That's what it means. And that's how God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.